So we begin Sefer Yonah in our Nachyomi. What better time than before Yom Kippurim? So we know that the book is an extraordinary book. There's older versions of the Seder of Tanakh in which Yonah was not included in the Treyasa. It was a book that was aimed on its own, and there were only 11 in the what we now call Treyasa. But its personality is such that it's extremely different. In other words, it doesn't describe as the Nevi'is usually does. It doesn't describe what it is that a Navi does from the outside. It doesn't describe as it does in in Iyov, where we have clearly what's meant to be a description, a conceptual description. It somehow straddles the normal Nevi'is and the conceptual books in which it's meant to explore something. We have the sense, and the Mefarshim all raise this problem, that it isn't really about Yonah's Shlichut to Nineveh, and that's because, as the Mefarshim point out, there is no record in any of the other Sfarim of a book that is miyuchad specifically for the Umes HaElam. And even though we do have masa that is given over about places among the Umes HaElam, not only was it never the subject of an entire book, but it was also clear-cut in its implications for Yisrael. It was part of an overall approach to what was happening in history that Yisrael should know. Here it's very unclear. What is the purpose of the book? And we know that we use the book. Chazal actually recovered the book to the point where, whether it's on Yom Kippur, whether it's at a time of Tzibur, as the Gemara brings in Ta'anit, there you're supposed to have a Zokin that speaks about, take a look what happened in Nineveh, and it doesn't say that Vayar Elokim et Sakam v'Ta'anitam. It says at Ba'aseyem, and so on and so forth, and we use it somehow as a dogma of Teshuvah. Because of that, people assume that we read Yonah and Yom Kippurim in order for it to be a dogma of Teshuvah. The normal explanation of why it is that Yonah did not want to go through with this, according to many of the Midrashim, the Farshim, as Rashi himself brings here, is the simple meaning in the opening of the book, even though it's clearly not what it says at the end of the book, and we'll have to talk about that in paragraph E, is that he felt that the Goyim, this is based on the Mechilta, he felt that Goyim are Krovei Teshuvahim. This occurs in many Midrashim, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. And since they're Krovei Teshuvah, they will respond, and that will end up being a kitrug on Yisrael, who do not respond, and therefore this will end up begorim ra for Yisrael, and therefore I don't want to do it. Let's take that at face value for a moment. And notice the Mefarshim say, it seems ridiculous. If all of the things that happened to Yisrael, with all of the Nevi'im, throughout all of the Deiros, and the Nisim and Niflos that were done to us, and the number of times that we got into trouble, and finally fixed our ways, and were saved, and that if that didn't talk to people, how in the world was a ridiculous story about Nineveh in the middle of nowhere? At this point, Nineveh was not yet the great power that was going to come up against Yisrael and destroy Yisrael. How in the world were they supposed to take this seriously anyway? And if the bottom line is that we do use the Sefer, well, obviously we're not being koveya the use of the Sefer that it should constantly be a maskeret avon for Yisrael on Yom Kippurim. It's crazy. There's something wrong with the whole thing. It's obvious that it's supposed to be, if anything, a usable dugma, if you want, for some certain aspects of tshuva. But, such an extreme that we should use it one way, and that Yonah's ready to commit suicide by fearing the use of it that way, it's just illogical. Something more profound seems to be going on over here, and it is not at all clear that any of the Mefarshim have discovered it. So we really have to keep our minds open to what are the deeper elements of the book. Now, the opening pasuk, Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah, Ben Amitai Lemor itself is a very important pasuk, because the identification of Yonah here as Yonah Ben Amitai makes it almost 100% certain. I mean, it would be an absurd coincidence to say that this is a different Yonah Ben Amitai. Yonah Ben Amitai is mentioned earlier in Tanakh, and he's mentioned in an extremely surprising way, which Lamaisa ends up casting a lot of light on what is going on here. And I think that understanding the personality of Yonah is also going to be a very important part of understanding the Sefer itself. Yonah ben Amitai is mentioned as the one that had ultimately made it possible astoundingly, the last person in the world that you would have believed would have succeeded in expanding Yisrael to the point that it had never been expanded before, a last burst of the most amazing growth in Yisrael, which takes place at the end of Yeravam, the second Yeravam, the grandson of Yehu, who was Lechora, an absolute no goodnik, Vayaz Harabe Nehashem, Losar Mikal Kolchataot, Yeravam Benevat, Asherechetit Israel. And yet, remarkably, Hu Heshiv et Gvul Yisrael, Milavo Chamat Ad Yom Ad Yam Ha'arava, Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Diber Biyad Avdo, Yonah Ben Amitai Hanavi, Asher Migat Hefer. So somehow or other, what appears to be absurd success of the closure of the period of the Aseret HaShvatim downfall, in which at the beginning we know that there was an attempt, let's get rid of Achav, we'll set up the Dorot of Yehu in order for there to be some kind of hope, and somehow none of that works. What happens is that at the end, these people, and those Dorot, are capable of destroying basically the leadership of Malchut Yehuda. So we had Bishana 15 Shana Lamatzia ben Yoash Melech Yehuda, Malach Yeravan ben Yoash Melech Yisrael b'Shamron, 41 Shana, Vayas Hara, and yet, nonetheless, this was the unbelievable Nevius that specifically Yonah had given at that time. And there's a reason why it was Yonah. And the reason that it was Yonah was because the entire story of this Malchus, even though his name isn't mentioned there, was Yonah. And the reason that he's called here Yonah ben Amitai is because of that. Yonah ben Amitai, according to the Zohar and according to all of the Balei Kabbalah, use the Zohar, see Ramazim of it in other Midrashim, is the child that Eliyahu brought back to life. And when Eliyahu brought him back to life, his mother used those words. And she said, "Now I know, Ataze Yadati, ki ish Elohim ata, udvar Hashem beficha emet." So that moment Eliyahu became connected with the concept of Emet, and at when he was dying or departing the world, what he did was essentially give over the power, that power of Tchiyat HaMetim, to Elisha, and the koach that had been given over to him from the nefashot of Nadav v'Avihu. Again, we spoke about this in Chumash a lot, and that was the moment at which he was Pinchas, took over Nadav v'Avihu, and it becomes the Malach, that becomes Eliyahu, Lati Lavo. And as it turns out, gave over that koach into that child who is, according to all of the Balei Kabbalah, Mashiach ben Yosef. So in other words, Yonah ben Amitai carried within him the instinct of truth in Eliyahu's life. And you know that Eliyahu had many, many different identities, and he was different people. We spoke about this in Pinchas. And he is called the Emet Eliyahu here. That was his moment of truth. And that's the Eliyahu from Binyamin. There's many different aspects to Eliyahu. And remarkably, in that story, amazing story, where the woman comes to him, and her son has died, And he comes into the house and he finds the boy dead. And his reaction is absolutely astounding. And it's so nogea yona. He says the most amazing words. He says, Hashem Elokai, Hagam ala almana asher nimit goreri ma'areyot ala mitet b'na. What, is that bad enough the way you treat me? This is the way you have to treat even the people that treat me right? It's an amazing statement. So, Lamaisa, as many in the Mepharshim point out, Lodai, I mean, this is Loshen in the Metzudais, but many are Omed on this. Lodai, Sha'areyot Ali, Lalechet Nav and Nad, Meshotet Ba'aretz, which, by the way, relates back to Yonah as well, because he's also a Nitzutz of Kayin, who is Nav and Nad. That's Merum is in this passage. And why was I Nigram to be Nav and Nad Ba'aretz? Al Shehad Sarti et Hamata. And according, again, to the Medrash, that's why he ended up in Tzarfat in the first place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to that almanah. Those of you who learned Melachim with me will remember that old story. That he was sent there in order to feel the pain of the people in the street who had nothing to eat. And that's where he was supposed to learn to have rachamim and to rescind the gezerah that he had made against Israel. And he senses that this is because you disagree with me and you've put me through hell. And now, not bad enough that I should have to go through hell, but the very woman that I came to learn about how it is that I'm hurting others, you have to kill her child. Just to make it clear that nobody should even be nice to me, you know. V'hareyota lala amitet b'na b'avur zeh. Nobody will even let me into their house. I am like a walking plague. I mean, that means that he knew he was fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's exactly what Yonah is doing. I mean, he's perfectly aware. But should you even kill her child? I understand that we're at war, me and you. And this, when Achav says, O Cher Yisrael, he has a very good basis for saying, O Cher Yisrael. And Elio senses it and realizes it. This is an amazing story. So that means in the very source of the child's Yonah, Chiyut, in which he was brought back to life, which becomes now the makor of the whole Indian of Tchiyat HaMetim, which again, according to the Baalei Kabbalah, takes place over here. Because since Yonah was kovesh et nevuato, he was chayav mita bidei shamayim, and had actually died when they threw him into the yam. So that what we see here is really a recreation of a person. And therefore this entire absurd description of a fish and of a whole story in which he sees the Leviathan and he perceives the toe of the yam and so on and so forth is a vision of death, as he said. He himself calls it that. El Sha'ol Tachtit. So he is essentially experiencing something outside of human experience. So that he comes to attach himself to his own shoresh in Elio. And that is very profound in terms of identifying him as Yonah ben Amittai. Why is he nogea the story of Yerovam? In amazing ways. First of all, when Elisha was given two jobs. He was supposed to be Mosheach et Chazael. And that was going to be a disaster. And he was also told to go ahead and to make Yehu ben Yehoshaphat, king, and to have him destroy everything that had been achieved by Achav and his entire family. So it says there, Elisha Navi kara le'echad mibnei ha-nevi'im. ויאמר לו חגור מתנך קח פח שמן הזה בידיך ולך רמות גלעד. Doesn't say who he was. Chazal identify him as Yonah ben Amittai, and that in fact all of the Nevi'ahs to Beit Yehu, all the way through here, this story of Yerovam Hashemi and his telling Yerovam that he's going to be very successful, everything was done through Yonah ben Amittai. And that has got to be an extremely important insight, first of all, into his entire tfisa, because it means that his relationship to Yisrael was essentially a secular relationship. In other words, he did not expect the people that he was speaking to do teshuva. They never listened to him. They didn't do teshuva. And nonetheless, he was telling them, you're going to be unbelievably successful, which is really strange. And as we spoke about over there in Sefer Melachim, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, you know, I'm really not ready to destroy Klal Yisrael. They're not listening anyway. So what the heck? Why shouldn't they be successful? But that means that Yonah was the one who represented that entire approach. Now, if that's the case, it means that there's something very different about his relationship, the whole concept of teshuvah, and how teshuvah connects to what it is that we're meant to achieve with the success that we can have. So when Chazal identified this boy, and he's a nar, he's constantly called Vayelech Hanar, Hanar Hanavi Ramot Gilad. So now he is defined as a child, but he must have been very young, because, I mean, we are talking about a lifespan over here of well over 120 years, if he's going to be the one that we're identifying as the same individual who is dealing with Nineveh, depending on what point of Nineveh is dealing with. We'll see that we have hints. In any event, he is here an old man, and here he's a child. So what does he do? We're talking about a little kid. Vayavo, vihine sareachayo yoshvin. So he walks into Ramot Gilad, basically into the middle of a meeting of the top leaders of the country. And he just walks right in. It's a very strange situation. It'd be like somebody walking into the, you know, Joint Chief of Staff's meeting, you know. And he walks in. And he says, Tavar li elecha, sir. I have something I have to tell you, sir. So Yehu says, really? And which one of us would you like to speak to? Trying to be a little bit silly about the whole thing, as we'll see. So he says to him, El mimi kulano elecha hasa. You, sir. So he gets up, walks into the next room. Yonah takes out Shemen, Vayitzok Shemen al Rosho, Vayom Eloko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Mishachtich Lamelech Alam Hashem al Yisrael, and Hikita et Beit Achav Adonecha, Venikamti Dmei Avadai HaNeviim. Note, Avadai HaNeviim, this is this whole story. This is what is going to be the Nekama for the way that Neviim had been treated. And Dmei Kol Avdei Hashem Yad Izevel. And therefore, this is the horrible envious. Yichrati l'achav mashtin bekir v'yatzu v'azu b'Yisrael v'natati et beit achav kebeit yiravam b'nevat v'chebeit ba'asha b'nachia v'et izevel yochlu haklavim b'chelek Yisrael, and so on and so forth. Yehu walks out of the room, sits back down. V'ayom lo, they said, well, is everything okay? Hashalom. Why is this crazy guy coming here? Ah, he says to them, you know him, he's crazy. What's the issue? You are lying. Tell us what he said. So he tells them what he said. ויאמרו ויקחו איש בגדו וישימו תחתיו וגרם המעלות ויתקו בשופר ויאמרו מלאך יהו. I'm a shuga, is that what the crazy guy come in here? The kid walks in, he's in the middle of a meeting, and everybody stops, and we try to sort of pass it off. Well, you know, you said to yourself, he's crazy, and so I mean, this is a very complex personality. Obviously, they knew him. He says to them, you know him. He's a crazy guy. I mean, what do you mean? They know him. He's a Nar Hanavi. What do you mean they know him? So what we see over here is a person who shows up right here in the first paragraph of immense presence and calm. And that's exactly what he turns out to be over here. But his shlichut is to restore the matzav of the nekama on this level of the Nevi'im. And there's a remarkable medrash that says, and why was Yeravam indeed given that kayach to restore Eretz Yisrael? Because he was mechabed Nevi'im. But as the Gemara says, not only that, but when they tried telling him Lashon Hara about Amos, and then Amos said this and this about Beit Yeravam, he said, listen, if that's what he said what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say. He's doing his job. Tell him thank you. What's the problem? So the entire relationship of the success of Yeravam here is specifically in terms of his relationship to Nevi'ut. Now we will see that in the closing, Yonah complains to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I knew this was going to happen, and they are essentially going to start doubting the value of Nevi'ut. So everybody takes that to mean they'll accuse me of being a Navi Sheker, and I don't want to be accused of being a Navi Sheker. And as the Medrash says, he had gone before to Yerushalayim, and the Amei Haaretz had accused him of being a Navi Sheker because the city had been saved, because they did listen to him. This doesn't appear beferish in the Psukim, but they're a Muslim. So he didn't want to ruin his reputation. Obviously, once we see it in this context, he has a unique relationship to both Nevi'ut and to Teshuvah, and that has to be taken into consideration in understanding him and the story here. So let's continue. Kum lech el Ninveh ha'ir ha'gedolah, and of course the year ha'gedolah, this is a reference all the way back to that original Ninveh, he ha'ir ha'gedolah. It wasn't clear there where it was Ninveh or Kalah. So the Gemara darshan, yes, but here it says Yair Gedolah, so obviously it was Ninveh from the beginning. Now there's something special about Ninveh in one of two directions, which is a Machlokas Rashi and Ramban, which actually is a Machlokas in the Midrashim as well. One, Rashi's pshat is that Min Ha'aretz Ahi Yatsa Ashur, and Ashur left Min Ha'aretz Ahi in order not to be part of Nimrod. Vayiven et Ninveh, in which case Ninveh became the symbol of the antithesis of Merida to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Based on that, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chas on Ninveh, and of course we know the famous Medrash that the Melech of Ninveh here is Paro Melech Mitzrayim, who was the grandson of Nimrod, the son of Nimrod, or Nimrod according to other, but the point is that he was the one who understood Teshuvah, and therefore he becomes now the symbol of the nature of Teshuvah in Ninveh. Others learn, the Ramban learns, that Vayiven at Ninveh means that Nimrod went and built Ninveh, and that Ninveh therefore became a makor of chet later, and was the antithesis of Yisrael, and was therefore used as a shevet connected Yisrael through Ashur. And indeed, some suggest maybe that's why Yonah didn't want to go to Ninveh, because according to the Medrash, he went to Ninveh because Ninveh was going to be the Shevet B'yad Hashem Keneged Yisrael. And therefore everyone would say, so why is the evil city being given this power to chastise Yisrael? And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be expressed in the world as a city of Teshuvah, so that that would justify their use against Yisrael later, which was exactly what it was that Yonah wanted to avoid. So according to this pshat, it was a politically motivated kind of thing, which related specifically to his understanding, Benavias, of what it was that Ninveh was going to be against Yisrael, and he didn't want it to be expressed as something that was good. Fine. All of these things obviously are going to have to all be absorbed into a unified approach to what it was that he was trying to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get up. Get up seems to mean, I want you to do this right now. Ukra aleha. Now, it doesn't say what it is you're supposed to say. It just says, Ukra aleha. Ki altarne atam lefanai. Things are getting bad over there. And of course, the same lashon that we have by Sodom. That means that things are really bad. Vayokom Yonah livroch Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. So, he was cum, all right. Just read this. Cum lechele. Okay, up I go, and away I'm out of here. By yokum yona. Now, this is so shocking that Rosati Agon actually suggests that, look, I mean, he certainly would have not ignored the tzivui from Hashem, and therefore, he actually probably did go to Nineveh that first time. But it didn't say exactly what he was supposed to say there. So, you know, he gave them some general mussar, read the Masil Sharm to them, and so on. And then he came home and realized, you know, next thing you know, God's going to give them a whole tshuva plan, and that's going to be a disaster. I better get out of here before I get another Nevi'ut. Because then I'll have to listen, and it's going to be effective, and I don't want to listen. And therefore, obviously, he's not running away from God. What a Navi thinks he can run away from God. But, as all of the Midrashim and the Zohar points out, Nevi'us is not Kalman Kutzmort. Worse than that, says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, the Yam is, by definition, the place of Tov. It's not a place where you would expect the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be shared. On the contrary, the whole Kayach of Moshe, that it was Nimsham in Amayim, is removed out of that Tohu, which meant that he was capable of dealing with what appears to be chaotic, unstructured reality. And therefore, that was his Madrega to give Terah. And you'll notice that the boundaries of the Yam are called secular. So the sand, which is the boundary of the Yam, has no specific identity, which is the opposite of Kedusha. So that it's just grains of sand. They're like the grains of sand, in which we do not see individuality on the gross level. And therefore, we call it Chol. So he wanted to go, this is according to Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that he wanted to go specifically to the Yam where the Kvod Hashem is not to be found, Kvod Hashem meaning the Gilui of the presence of Hashem. Or he wants to be in Chutz La'aretz, which Rashi brings over here, that he specifically went to a place, Hu b'Chutz La'aretz, Evrach l'sham she'en ha'shkinah shorah b'Chutz La'aretz. This is based on the Mechilta. The Mechilta says that was the whole point, and therefore, not that he thought idiotically he could avoid the Shkina, but he thought that he could avoid Nevi'ut. And therefore he ran away. The Ebenezer has a marvelous deal to show that that's the case. He says, look, if you take a look, I went through the entire Tanakh, and I never found the word Bricha, except in one context. It's always davuk to the word Penei. Mipanecha evrach, vayivrach yiftach mipnei echad. It never says mipnei Hashem. It says milifnei Hashem every single time, both in his reference and when the sailors refer to it later on. And therefore, what it means is just like it says vayitzekai milifnei Hashem. And that's mipanecha esaser. So what it means is from the keach of the gilui of the Shekhinah, I want to be, so, which is Nevi'ut. But of course he never thought he was going to run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, he wanted to be in a place where he would not have to give over this Nevi'ut. Now, obviously, there's a great deal missing in this story, and it's clear that there's something to do with his vision of what Teshuvah is. And as Rashi brings over here, he said, and this is based too on all of the Midrash, as I said, Haguyim Krovei Teshuvah. Again, people interpret that to mean, since they are Krovei Teshuvah, well, maybe, you know, the subtness and Mekatreg, who cares if they do Teshuvah, it's not difficult for them, and so on, you know, so therefore it'll be a Kitrug on Yisrael. Obviously, if Goyim are Krovei Teshuvah, then we've got to deal with specifically the problem and the reason of why Goyim are Krovei Teshuvahim and Yisrael is not Krovei Teshuvah. As a matter of fact, not only are they not Krovei Teshuvah, they're the antithesis of Krovei Teshuvah. So if there's an issue over here, to just pretend, well, that's the problem, everybody knows the Krovei Teshuvah, and that's going to cause a terrible kitruk to Yisrael without dealing with the underlying problem, it's crazy. And the fact that we're Koveya de Sonyom HaKippurim means that that nature of Teshuvah is what it is that we're going to have to explore over here in order to get more deeply into the Sefer. Okay, nice beginning. We have to run the time. And so as the Ibn Ezra's Medayek, Vayokom Yonah Livroch Tarshisha Milifnei Adonai. So he's going to escape the Gilui of the Shechina. And perhaps in that sense he has to be willing, in order to do that, he has to be willing to cut off those parts of himself that are shayach to Gilui Shechina in going to Chutz Laretz. And because of that, we may find this three-pronged lashon of Yerida in the Pasuk. But Yered Yafo and in the next pasuk, vayeradim, which is also really a word similar to yered, vayeradim is really the loss of one's entire consciousness. That this may be a sense of his almost suicidal, and as the Michlofta says, he went in order to die in the sea. It was with that understanding and with that intent, and he was going to be Moser Nefesh al Yisrael. So that's a possibility, but it changes, of course, the entire focus, because what it would mean is that he's not simply talking about doing something that's external in keeping away from the Shechina, but he's doing something to himself, a gradual Yerida, which in fact he sees as terminal. And that's exactly what they sensed in him. Something is wrong with this guy. We'll get back to that. But before continuing, I want to point out another fascinating relationship of why specifically would be Yonah that would have to do with all of this interrelationship with Nineveh, and in fact the only book in which there appears to be this shlichut to Goyim, in which the Goyim are supposed to be the ones that are going to express what it is that Teshuvah is about. Amazingly, Yonah is the only one who became a Navi, and this is the context of his own actual book, because the book describes at the end Yonah as making a sukkah. And that's the closing of the book. And of course, we read him as a transition at that last moment of Yom Kippurim in Mincha. He's the transition to Sukkot. And it's his type of teshuvah that relates specifically to the Umot Olam. And it's in Sukkot that we have our parim that are being brought for the Shivim Umot and so on and so forth. So there's something about the universal in what it is that Yonah represents, not only as a book, but also in the segue into the coming holiday. Remarkably, Yerushalmi says, and Tosis brings this in Masechet Sukkah, Yonah became a Navi during Sukkot at the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. So his sensitivity was, and most understand that to be, that's where this Navius was found. Was in the Simchat Beit HaShoeva on Sukkot, where there was the time of the commitment to the Umot Olam, but not only the commitment to Umot Olam, but what is most amazing is that, of course, what the whole story of the Simchat Beit HaShoeva is about is the restoration of the primal human responsibility for nature. And that's how the book ends. He goes insane because his tree dies. And he says, I'd rather die. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses as his, so now you're good and angry, Yonah. Oh, yes. How angry are you? Well, I'm ready to die, so it said. So that means that the entire story of Yonah is wrapped up in his inception, every last aspect. And his Now what we're going to find, you know, I'm allowing myself to refer to Psukim later because everybody knows the book so well, but even in his falling fast asleep, I don't know, I don't recognize the number. I'm just going to turn off the phone. He does exactly what Eliyahu does. Eliyahu, when he runs away, and when Ezevil actually tells him, you know, and this is the revenge against Ezevil, it's this child that he was mechayil. So when Ezevil tells him, okay, you may have won the battle of the day, but tomorrow you'll be dead along with the rest of them. And it's that point that he gives up. There he goes, and it says he falls asleep underneath a rotan. And he just sort of throws it all away, which is exactly what happens here to the person who is responsible for taking the revenge on Ezevil for the loss of the Nevi'im. An amazingly complex story, all interwoven with itself, with where he comes from, with where his Nevi'ah comes from, with how he views his self as being part of the nature of Nevi'ut, so that in running away from Nevi'ut, he doesn't see that as something external. It's not just that he's saying, okay, I'm ready to be most nefesh, I don't want God to catch up with me, I don't want that. It's that he understands that it's his essence as a Navi that is involved here. And that what it is that he stands for in his Nevi'ahs has elements in it that are damaging to Yisrael and to Yisrael's mission. And therefore, obviously, ultimately, this may be the Ratzon Hashem. But Megalgalin Schus Ayadei Zakai, Megalgalin Chov Ayadei Chayav, and this is not what my life is going to be for. Now the question is, was he actually Kovesh Nevuato, which is the Mashmot of the Gemara in Sanhedrin? In which case he's Chayav Mita. The Malbim says, if you look at the original Tzivoy, all it says is Ukra Aleh. So we spoke about the way that the Reb Sadia Gaon says, okay, he did that. Maybe. That's very, very chutzpah. Well, we didn't bother telling you, but he did that. I mean, it's unimportant. But what the Malbim says is, but that's not a specific Nevi'ut. That means he's being sent on a mission. A mission is not Nevi'ut. This is Kralat. To say, Kralat advarim asher amarti lecha. Were you kovesh anything in particular? I sent you as a preacher to go out and to teach them. So why is that? That would not be called Kovesh Nevuato if he didn't have a specific Nevi'ut at all. So that actually is an even better approach than the Rav Sadia Gaon's approach in terms of the din of the Kvish. And so his tikuma is Livruach Tarshisha B'lifnei Hashem. And so Vayered Yafo, Samar Masber, why Yafo, for heaven's sakes? If he is the one who's from Gat Hefer, that's in Zvulun. He should have gone to Akko. What was he doing in Yafo? But if we understand that this was when he was coming from the Simchat Beit HaShoifah, so of course, that's where he would be going. He would be going to Yafo, which ties the whole thing together. And he finds an Oniyah Ba'a Tarshish. I want to exactly say Ba'a Tarshish. It's supposed to be going to Tarshish. Seems to be saying it was coming from Tarshish. And there's two explanations. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, this was the boat to Tarshish that had already taken off to Tarshish. It was forced to land, an emergency landing, when it hit a gigantic storm and was pushed back to Yafo. So there he was, arriving after the gate had already closed. His plane had taken off. He's turning around in misery. This actually happened to me. That's an amazing story. He's turning around in misery, and all of a sudden the gate opened up and the plane has come back. He says, oh my God, now I know Darki is Yeshara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping me, and this is great. So Ba'a means that it indeed it had been going to Tarshish, now it was pushed back from Tarshish. Others understand, no, that's exactly the point. This was the Tarshish ferry. So basically, he was going to have to wait because it was just arriving. He was going to have to wait until departure time, which would have waited, needed us to, you know, he would have needed another 1,000 people getting on board, which was ridiculous. That's why it says, Vayitein Sechara. He didn't pay his ticket. He rented the entire boat.
Wow.
Which is one of the riyas that a Navi has to be rich, and you don't give Navias. There's even a medrash that talks about how much the fee of the boat was, with enormous amount of money. And he pays for the entire boat, which of course explains why it is that everybody's focused on Yona. In other words, it just seems like, okay, so one guy fell asleep in the hold, it's a big deal, you know. But no, this was the crazy guy that came in and paid for the whole boat. Where is he? So it was automatically a focus on this person. He's not a regular guy. So he takes a chara. Vayered balavo imahem tarshisha. Note that the Yerida that is mentioned over here is the fact that he's going to be going with them. So those, if you're normally on a boat which is full of passengers, you know, and there's the kosher kitchen and the whole business, and you know, so you feel like you're in the upper decks, you know. But over here he's with the crew. That itself is a yerida. But Benogea, his sukkah identity, it's an amazing medrash. The medrash says that represented on this boat was an individual from every one of the shirim families. Which of course is sukkahs again. So these are the shivim parim. In other words, so this boat is a vision of sort of the entire earth, similar to the original Yonah that flew off of a boat just like that. Fascinating. A boat that had the entire remnants of humanity and all of the shivim umot come. And then here is this Yonah, and he is Yored Lavoy Mem Tarshisha Milifnei Hashem. Once again, that means that the Bia Imahem was part of the Milifnei Hashem. So the Yerida, in his entire status as a person, he was willing now to talk. He was willing now to relinquish, if this is what it would take to achieve whatever we have no idea what that is. Again, we're just, as a start, we're taking on the simple meaning of the Midrashim and of Rashi, and many of the Mefarshim will follow, that he was afraid of the Goyim being Krovei Teshuva. But just to put that seed in your mind of doubt, it's not just the Goyim are Krovei Teshuva. The story of Nineveh's doing Teshuva is hilarious. It's not that Krovei Teshuva. It's like it comes out, yes, another 40 days, then, oh, okay, fine, we'll take care of it, thank you, and within 10 seconds, everything has changed, and so on. Now, what? I mean, it's almost a joke.
Too easy.
It's way too easy. It's not in the Krovei Teshuva. You know, they call up the king. You're kidding. That's what he said. There's a national emergency. Everybody must do Teshuva immediately. The animals have to do Teshuva. Dress them all up in black. I mean, the thing, it's almost a joke. It's like they're going out of their ways to turn it into this hilarious kind of what Lamaisa. Oh my God. What Lamaisa is expressed in the, what was I saying? I lost track because of these interruptions. Oh, which is Lamaisa dressed in Yerushalmi by Rish Lakish as being considered to be an absolute Ramaut. The whole thing. Shuvash Ramaut. What kind of Shuvah is this? What do you mean? 10 seconds flat, the entire city is now full of tzaddikim, and everything is... There's something very fishy about it. It isn't just that they're Krovei Teshuva. We're doing something that is strange in calling this a reality, and making it a reality. And it is such a slap into the face of what it is that he expects the Teshuva to be, and what it is that he wants it to represent, that therein must lie a hint of what is bothering him. He knows what is to come. It's not just the difference between, well, they'll manage to do it, and Klal Yisrael won't manage to do it. It's something about the nature of Teshuva that's at risk here, and that's what we pointed out earlier has got to be the issue. Vadonai itil ruach gedola layam, vayisar gadol bayam. So we have here an image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu picking up the ruach and sticking it down. Itil. So it's he stuck it there, and therefore there was a sar gadol bayam. Why there needs to be two separate? I mean, you could say Hashem asah sar gadol bayam. And there's a remarkable Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer on this, which says, which makes it very clear as to why it was that the sailors were convinced that this is a very personalized problem. And that is, it was an absolutely constrained ruach. All around them, boats were there, and everybody was out suntanning on the deck, and they're being splashed with the eye, and the whole boat is going up and down, and it's about to be destroyed, and everybody around them is looking, but what is going on over there? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks up this ruach, and he's matil it right on them. They knew that something was funny. Gosh, even the boat started to think that it was going to be over. It's a beautiful image. To say the looked like it was over, but to use the word as if the boat is thinking about itself. But it's there's this sense of really a teva here, in which the people and the boat and the experience of everything that's going on is all somehow linked together. And so the sailors were terrified. Each one of these Shive Mumais that found their God. And they threw overboard all of the kelim that they had, all of the instruments they had in this onia, to make it lighter. And Yonah. Speaking of calm presence, and is there a problem? Now, Lemaisa, since it says V'yona Yarad, it doesn't say V'yarad V'yayered Yona. It's the mashmaut is that according to Shamsher of Al Hirsch, that this type of construct is always the pluperfect. So in other words, it means that it had been this way. He had gone down to Yarkatei HaSfina and had fallen asleep, because otherwise we would have slapped at everybody's face. Okay, that's possible. But the contrast is so shocking. Everybody's terrified. You see the image here. Throwing things overboard, people screaming, yelling, holding on to the slashing waves, and this boat itself thinks it's about to be destroyed. And here goes a guy downstairs, and fast asleep, and everything is fine. It's a remarkable image. It is so remarkable that it explains the use of the word vayikra in the next passage. Vayikrav elav Rava Kovel. What does that mean, Vayikrav elav? What should you say? I mean, Vayikash elav or Vayomer lo Rava Kovel. What the heck is wrong with you? Vayikrav has this gingerly sense of creeping up to him. Vayikrav elav Rava Kovel. Almost in awe. Like, whoa. Do I wake him? Can I talk to somebody like this? He's, my God, this is like a different presence. And we'll see that this becomes symbolic of the entire transformation that is about to take place in the boat because of Yonah. And so he is korev to him. He approaches him. Vayomer lo, Malach HaNirdam. This is many different. I mean, what Malach HaNirdam could mean? What is with you that you are sleeping? Or, what's with you, the man who is asleep? And that's, Uru Yesheni Mishratchem, V'nirdamim, Mitirdamatchem. So we're calling you a nirdam, meaning, have you no self-awareness? But of course it could mean the opposite as well. It's like, what is going on in your mind that you could be sleeping? And as the Medrash puts it, we're holding on here between life and death. Ben ha-chayim u-ben ha-mavet. And you don't care? Doesn't it make any difference?
Just in terms of Yonah and David, he always seems to be using life and death. I mean, this is classical.
But not for the people who are watching.
No, but I'm saying it does seem to be that there's always something about Yonah that seems
yes,
to be death already.
100%.
I wish I was dead. I am dead.
And that's exactly what Eliyahu does, by the way.
Yeah.
As nafshi l'kachtar. You know, which, by the way, is not all that rare, because Moshe Rabbeinu says the same thing.
It almost seems like it's not completely brought back to life by
Eliyahu. That could be that. When we get to that, we'll talk about it. Oh, you mean the original?
Yeah.
That could be. That could be that there's elements of death and death wish that are associated with it. We'll see when we get to the tefillah that he has. So the captain is shocked by this complete and total, what appears to be, I mean, we could say it's just pure despair. But it appears to be equanimity. And that's the way he's experiencing it, the Rav HaChovel. And it simply does not understand. Kum kral alecha. You should be calling out to your God. We're all trying. Ulai yitashet Elohim lanu v'lo noved yitashet. Yitashet sort of means put his thoughts to us. Esh tenotav. As God lost his mind, we say somebody who's lost his mind, Yibedesh Tanotav. Yit Ashet is he'll wake up to our Tzorah, become aware of us, put his thoughts upon us. And therefore the Inyan of Tvila that they understand is to draw attention to oneself, which is exactly what they're doing. Vayizaku, they're shouting, which is exactly what Eliyahu had said to the Nevi Abal. Why don't you shout a little louder? Maybe he's sleeping. So you'll wake him up, and that's exactly what it is that the Rav HaKovel is saying. Ula yitashet, you know. You've got to get his attention. And that way, v'lo noved, of course, is not exactly the way that Yonah views the whole idea of tefillah at all. It's very much the problems of teshuvah, the question of how they relate to God, what is tefillah all about to them, is immediately evident here, even at the beginning of the Sefer. Okay, I think we should wait at this point.